Welcome everyone to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today, our guest is Bobby Lalik, and Bobby is from Canada, and I just love her story. I love everything that she discovered along this road of healing. And I think a lot of what you'll hear when you listen to Bobby and basically what happened when she had a terrible car accident with her family and five children and husband, and the concussion that ensued for months and years after, which interestingly, she didn't actually hit her head on the side of a car. She didn't have an airbag hit her in the head. The way that she got her concussion was that she got some whiplash and her brain inside her skull hit the hard part of her skull, giving her a concussion, which is why for so long she didn't know that she had one. Now, we're going to dive deep into what it was about yoga therapy and yoga that finally helped her find some healing. She had tried so many different things with Western medicine, complementary medicine, alternative medicine, and she wasn't seeing the results. She was still having the headaches and the nausea for years after this car accident. And there was something very specific, very simple about yoga therapy that changed the game and made all the difference. And I'm going to make you listen to the episode to hear what that is. I personally think this is the key to yoga therapy. This is what we need to be touting from the mountaintops, letting people know that, hey, yoga therapy has this thing that nobody else is doing, and it's the key to both complementary healing, whether we're working with Western allopathic medicine or psychiatrists, but it's also for those who maybe are at their last stop and none of that has worked and they're just here to try something. They're desperate. So they try yoga therapy and it ends up working. So I'd love for you to listen closely and try to figure out what it is that yoga therapy has that oftentimes is the actual key to healing and why it is that even with people who have chronic illness or autoimmune disease or chronic pain or chronic concussion symptoms. How come finally yoga therapy is the thing that ends up helping them come back to themselves? So let's get into it. Let's go meet Bobby. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour, Season 8. At the end of 2024, I was reflecting on our 2.5 years together. Each and every season, I want to bring something new, something fresh and interesting. So, in Season 8, starting in January of 2025, we are going to tell stories. I'm asking you, yes, you, to come on the podcast and tell your story of health, healing, and beyond as it applies to yoga, yoga therapy, and Ayurveda. How did these things help you to heal on the physical level, chronic level, the mental or emotional level, or even spiritual level? Maybe all of the above. So come on down. It's your turn to be on the podcast, and we would love to have you join us in 2025 telling your story of how you healed. Welcome, Bobby. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Bobby, where are you joining us from?
Cranbrook, BC. We're about an hour north of the American border, hour west of the BC-Alberta border, just on the edge of the Rocky Mountains and the Purcell Mountain Range.
Beautiful country. Oh my gosh. Lucky
It
you.
is. It is.
For those who don't know, I've moved to near Minneapolis, Minnesota, a year and a half ago now. So that's where I'm coming from.
Nice.
So, Bobby, we don't really know each other. We're
No.
just starting on this conversation. I like to say it's like meeting some new friend and having tea together for the first time and kind of hearing your story. So, where does the story begin? What happened at some point in your life that you realized, oh my gosh, I'm suffering. I'm not okay right now. Can you start us there?
Sure. We were traveling home, which is 6 hours away for Christmas with our family. We have five kids in a minivan, and we hit some ice and we crossed the highway. Luckily, no one was coming. We hit the snowbank. We were going very slow, only 60 kilometers. I don't know what that is in miles, but we stopped. But then the vehicle slowly proceeded to slide down the hill and do two complete turns and land upright. But in the meantime, everyone was fine. My son only ended up with some stitches, a little bit of whiplash, a bit of bruising, but the airbags basically saved everybody. And, the usual, I'm mom. I'm worrying about everybody else. We got to get home. We got to get back. What's Christmas going to look like? All that kind of stuff. And I had a headache, but I just passed it off as a sinus infection, right? After we went to Kelowna, we returned home, and this headache wasn't getting better, and I wasn't sleeping well.
How long was it lasting where you were like, this seems strange?
It took about 6 weeks until I realized I couldn't read a one sentence email at work. Why can't I understand this one sentence? Like, I read it and I read it and I'm like, what is happening? And I talked to my boss. I work in healthcare, I'm a kinesiologist, and we work with people in car accidents and work injuries. And I said, there's something up. And he goes, you better get assessed by an OT. I'm like, what? I don't need that.
Okay,
Come.
let's just stop there because I am so guilty too. I think when we're in healthcare and we're taking care of everyone else, there are things that are so obvious that we're like, no, I don't need that. Because I don't know. I was examining this recently. Do you think it's because we think we know?
Yeah, I thought I could heal myself. I'm a kinesiologist. I know what to do with people that have car accidents. I do it every day. But it's different when it's you, I think, right?
Yes, we don't have that outside reference point. Okay, so I got to slow this down because this is
Sure.
fascinating to me. In those 6 weeks, was anyone else around you noticing that anything was off, or was it kind of business as usual?
I think it was business as usual. If my husband did, he didn't say anything to me. Right. And again, well, he has ADHD and autism, so he doesn't always pick up on that, or he won't necessarily verbalize it. And also have his son on the autism spectrum. So, like I said, I am the one that keeps the household running, keeps everybody where they need to be, that kind of thing. So I don't think if anyone really noticed per
And
se.
beside the headache, was there anything else until that sentence jumped out at you? Because I had a car accident similar that I thought it was fine. And like 6 months went by until I realized I'm not okay. But I literally didn't notice during that time. And so that's why I'm so interested in this particular topic. Is it because whatever happened to our brain in that concussion stopped us from seeing clearly that things were off?
Probably, I would think so, because it was like being in a fog and I wasn't sleeping well and I wasn't feeling great. But again, I could chalk it up to other things. And I
Which we do.
saw, yeah, which we do. And I go for Chinese medicine regularly to an acupuncturist. And I didn't get in for like a month. And he took one look at me too. And it's like, what has happened? Because he's known me for 15 years or more. So I think it was just like a little more information. Okay, that's not okay. That's not okay. That's not okay. Okay, I think I need to do something. And I was going to physio and I was going to massage and doing all the things, but it wasn't making anything better. Right. So once the OT assessed me and I'm like, oh boy, because I knew what she was testing and my responses were not good. Right. It's like,
So
holy
tell us some
smokes.
of those tests. I mean,
Oh, memory tests or a lot of visual cognitive tests. I'm like, what is wrong with my brain?
like
So,
you knew you could kind of see, I think I'm getting the answers wrong, but this is unbelievable. I'm getting the answer wrong.
answer wrong, or the headache would come immediately. And I was getting so dizzy, we actually had to stop the testing because I was so dizzy. I had to go and lay down. And with the dizziness came nausea. So I had all day nausea as well as all day headache. I could see it getting worse with the
We're both
tasks that were
smiling at
presented.
each other. For those who can't see, you'll see it on YouTube one day. I'm not laughing at you, Bobby. I'm
No.
laughing with you because this is just such a familiar thing to me when I had my concussion. And the fact that all these different people could see and show us and tell us, and we were still like, I got this. I'm fine. I'm the mother of five. I run the household. I am the queen. I can get through this. I will push through this. And your brain is swelling and damaged and saying, I'm sorry, honey, you are not going to get through this without some care for yourself.
Yes, exactly. But even then, I was doing all of the things in Western medicine, and I was doing the cognitive and the eye exercises. And I've had a 7-hour headache from doing one eye exercise. Is that normal? Is that what's supposed to happen? No. Okay, so what do I do? Well, I don't know. That's a weird response.
That is a weird, like the person that you emailed was like, that's just not normal. We don't see that.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, well, so now what am I supposed to do? Right. So I didn't get a lot of direction if you don't fit that Western model mold. Right. So I floundered for probably another 6 months and then found Susie Hately online. And because of COVID, because it was already, well, actually, no, it was longer. So, no, 2019. Yeah. I had sessions with her and slowly I was getting a little bit better. I'm like, what? How can this one exercise?
Okay, so what were
Right.
you doing with Susie? We all love Susie, by the way. She was on a few months
Yeah.
ago. What were you doing with Susie that you were kind of like, wow, I think this might be working a little bit?
I think it was her making me pay attention to the symptoms and my body and how was it really moving? Because you know, with the brain fog, you don't necessarily connect with that or if even feel it. Like I didn't even feel neck pain until later on because of all the stuff happening in my head. Right? The dizziness, the nausea, the whatever, headache. So I think by slowing down, like you were saying, doing less, noticing, taking breaks. I mean, the OT had me taking breaks, and that was an eye-opener in the summer. She's like, I want you to do something for 20 minutes, and then I want you to stop. And it was difficult, but it was like the ping pong ball bouncing around in my head with my eyes closed. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a strange reaction, but obviously I need the rest.
I think that's what's so fascinating to me about yoga, which is complementary. We're not bashing Western medicine here. We go to PTs, we go to OTs, we get the neuro tests. Like, thank God we have all that to really
Yes.
understand what's happening in our own system, right? And yoga and yoga therapy have some additional thing that, like you said, the slowing down, the allowing for rest, the really paying close attention to the here and now and what's happening inside of me. Like,
Yes.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe you have an answer. Why slowing down and feeling and being and resting isn't part of the other ones also? Is that because of licensure and seeing so many clients in a, 15-minute block? Like, it seems kind of crazy that we need yoga in addition.
I mean, we teach pacing, right?
Okay.
Like you're sending someone back to work. Okay, well, do your job for whatever time, then go do something different, right? Or take a break. But I don't think you're still tuned in necessarily. You know what I mean? It's very structured, right? And
Tuned
you know, yoga therapy is not structured. It's like, what happened now? Oh, what can we try now? If that doesn't work, let's try this. Yeah, I don't know.
but tuned in.
Yes.
Tuned in.
Not just doing 3 sets of 20 bicep curls, right? Just to get through the program.
Tuned into the feelings before those three sets, tuned into the feelings and slowing down during those three sets, and then tuned into the feeling not just right after, but then 20 minutes later, 3 hours
Yes.
later, the next morning.
Yes, exactly. And the person on the other side has to be okay with, oh, we should change that. That
Right.
might not always fit in.
So individualization of, okay, I think we overdid it. We didn't titrate correctly. We overdid it. Let's back off or let's go in a different direction now because for you and your system, that didn't seem to give what we thought it would.
Yes. So, yes, those people that I found that fall through the cracks in Western medicine, I found yoga therapy can definitely address those because I've been in this field for 30 years. There are those people that don't, heal like you should on the paper, right? The trajectory should be this. And probably 80% do. I don't know the number, but there
Can
are the
we
ones that
take a
don't.
side tangent?
Sure.
I should have done this in the beginning, but it's coming up now. Like, as a kinesiologist, what do you do all day, every day? I'm just kind of comparing and contrasting that to like PT, OT, yoga therapy. Like, as a kinesiologist, what do you do all day?
Well, now I have implemented yoga therapy into my practice. Obviously, COVID had me become self-employed again. So I'm not working for a company. I'm working for myself, so I can do what I want with my clients.
So I want to get down to the basics. Like I was a
Sure.
professor of kinesiology for 25 years
Oh,
at California
okay.
State University. We had exercise physiologists, we had biomechanists. I was the sports psych person and the psych part of it. Is it applied kinesiology? Like what are you doing with your patients or clients all day? For those people who maybe don't know what a kinesiologist does.
Sure. So we're doing movement, obviously, and we do breathing and we do stillness. I've applied all the yoga therapy principles. I don't have a strong yoga background. I feel new still in the yoga world, but I meet them where they're at and we do what they need to do that day. So maybe it is only breathing with legs up the wall. Maybe it is riding the bike and then doing some movement. Or I have people in the pool as well, or we just go for a walk outside. Right, but it's
So,
tuning in.
and for those of you who don't know, the word kinesiology is the study of human movement, right?
Yes.
All right, so now you have been studying human movement and helping people move comfortably and effectively and helping them build their strength and their balance and their flexibility. And now you've layered in what Susie was teaching you. I want to hear more about the things she did with you because it's so fascinating to me.
Well,
Do
you
you
know.
remember?
Small movements, yeah, legs up the wall, wall squats, some breathing, stillness, and then just building on that. Like I had a list of symptoms because I kind of would keep track of, what's getting better because I didn't know if I was going to get better because it had been 2019, 2020. I didn't start training with her until the fall of 2020. She's kind of got a progress, different steps you have to do. And then I started the program and slowly this things would get better. I'm like, what? I said it. She tricked me into healing myself by becoming a yoga therapist.
Susie, so sneaky. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it cracks me up because so many people come to yoga therapy thinking they're going to heal someone else, not like totally blinded to the fact that we all have our stuff on the mental, emotional,
Right.
spiritual stuff. Like we're here to heal others. And you get in the programs and you're like, oh my goodness, I have some work to do here. And then through healing yourself over 2 or 3 years or however long it takes, you organically then understand how to help another. But I don't think anybody comes in thinking, oh, I'm gonna do my healing before I even go to others. They all come in thinking, I'm ready to heal everybody else. So it kind of cracks me up.
Yeah. Because I still went into the program not even knowing if I could tolerate the program because Zoom calls, increase my headaches, the dizziness, all of that kind of stuff. But slowly by incorporating Ayurveda as well, I don't know if you know Mona Warner, she's really good. We add little things, we do all the stuff that you're learning in Ayurveda, and I don't have all day headaches anymore. It probably took a year. But it was down to half a day, and then only 3 times a week, and then only a couple times a month. And so slowly, all of my symptoms lessened or have gone away and don't necessarily come back now unless I'm really tired or something stressful is going on.
So, what is your theory? You've been trained in science and physiology and kinesiology and biomechanics. You've studied this stuff. What do you think's happening up there in your brain as a result of the things you've listed, doing less, slowing down, paying attention, tuning in? What do you think is happening up there?
I think
Or
you're
maybe
just
your,
listening.
yeah, maybe even your whole nervous system.
I think it is the whole nervous system, definitely, because why does your jaw tighten when you walk, right? Everyone's compensation pattern is different. So I think by slowing down and listening and settling the nervous system, it's like, okay, my jaw doesn't need to tighten to go for a walk or to lift that box or to talk to you, whatever it is, right? And it can be different every day, too.
Absolutely. My name is Amy Wheeler, and I am the host of the Yoga Therapy Hour. I oftentimes get asked, Amy, you've been doing this for 2.5 years now. How can we help support the Yoga Therapy Hour? And there's a few ways. Number one, you can become a Patreon member, and that is on Patreon. You can donate as little as $5 a month to the podcast. But another way that you could help us would be to join our Optimal State mobile app. That too, right now, is about $5 a month. It helps you track your gunas. It gives all sorts of lifestyle lifestyle medicine suggestions based on yoga and Ayurveda. We have yoga nidras on there. We have Dharma talks on there. So you could actually benefit from getting the app and also help support this podcast at the same time. We hope you'll consider it. Go to the Apple iPhone store, and we hope that you'll download that app and start using it so that you can benefit, and so can we.
I want to tell a little secret here, because I think it just goes to this point. I was constantly having pain in my right psoas, my right quadratus lumborum, which is kind of on the middle to the low back, and my right hip. Like, my whole life was just like always there. And I was like, what have I done? How come this will not go away? I can't stretch it out. But to me, I didn't notice any extra tension there. Like, there was no reason this was happening. I got this very comfortable recliner at one point. And every time I'd sit in that recliner, if I paid attention and felt my breath and let myself relax, I'd kind of do a little body scan in preparation for yoga nidra practice. And I could feel against the cushion of the lazy boy that my right hip, my glutes, my psoas, my pelvic floor were just completely gripped. And I kept saying, well, that's weird. Why am I doing that on the right side? And after about 2 months of this happening, every time I sat in that darn lazy boy, I was like, okay, I guess this is my pattern that I didn't have any awareness of, right? The biofeedback from the cushions while I was going into those relaxed states to realize that there was something different on that right hip, which my whole life, I was a professor of kinesiology for 25 years. There was no stretch. There was no test. There was no physiological thing. Like, nobody had seen that compensation pattern or that holding pattern in me until I sat in that darn lazy boy. So this is just to make your point. You put your legs up the wall and breathe and feel. It sounds so simple, but what do you discover there?
Right. Exactly. And with Susie too, we also did dialoguing with a symptom.
Tell us about that.
So you could say, well, what do you want, right hip? What's happening, right? So sometimes you could say, oh, it's holding me because of XYZ, right? So that's
scared.
Why, yeah, whatever it is, that's what you discover or learn, like you said, by slowing down, stopping, breathing, or just noticing.
And so then that's so powerful, because then we can take that into our yoga or asana or our Pilates or our walking or our standing or how we're sitting at our desk, like, and notice, like, oh, am I holding that right hip today?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's so interesting, because we think these yoga techniques are so simple, like pop your legs up the wall, do some diaphragmatic breathing, you'll feel better. And I think to a lot of people, it just seems like, well, what could that possibly do?
Exactly.
Right?
That's
what,
exactly.
Like,
how...
okay. Like, I used to have this joke that my dad thought I was a very, very seasoned stretch instructor. Right? Like, and he would say to me, how many times do you have to go to India to learn more stretches? That's really not what we're doing, is it?
No, that's just like the surface.
Yeah,
right,
so or like, in your words, what are we doing? I just want to keep hammering this point. What are we doing in yoga therapy that is not becoming a very advanced stretching coach?
Well, I think it's connecting mm-hmm. with your body, whatever that is. It might be a feeling. It might be an emotion. It might be tightness. It could be anything, as you know, or all of the above. Yeah, because when you had the concussion, or I had the concussion, there was so much. Right? So many things. Well, what does it all mean? Well, it didn't really matter as long as you'd slow down. And if you could lessen it for a little while, like Susie always says, if it can go away, that means it can go away for longer periods of time. So we have to keep connecting so you can get a bigger bandwidth of having less symptoms or no symptoms.
Absolutely. Keep opening up that potential each day.
Yes.
Each hour.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had such a large amount of fatigue. I'm not sure if you had the same experience. So every morning I'd wake up and, okay, how much energy do I have today? And one of the systems they use is, how many spoons do you have today?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many spoons does it take to do all those things you need to do in a day? So what's the priority?
Yeah.
Right? So again, listening to your body, rest when you need to rest. And it's okay to do what you have to do because you know what to do to make it better. Right. Sometimes you do have to blow through the yellow lights, as Susie says, but you know what to do to bring it back down.
And it's reminding me of the conversation that she and I had on this podcast a few months ago around heart rate variability. And she was so genuine and vulnerable when she said that here she is, this master kinesiology person and yoga person, and that she was so shocked when I think she got a Garmin or some kind of heart rate variability measuring tool and realized she had no swoons. She had negative
Right.
swoons. Like, wait a minute, I study the human body. This is my career, and I have no reserve, no energy reserve. And my heart rate variability is actually pretty poor, like, very not in the good marks, you know? I was so humbled by her to see her admit that, and that there was a journey to get the heart rate variability where it needed to be, to kind of get her reserves back, to get more spoons, as you say. And so maybe that's a big part of this healing journey that you're talking about also, because you had five children and a husband, neurodivergence in the house can add an added layer of challenge and stress as well as beauty. You get both, right?
You do. Yes, you do.
And so did it start to flow over into you changing some lifestyle habits, allowing yourself to rest more or not have to take care of everybody so much? Like, how did you get more spoons, I guess is what I'm asking. Or did you?
I did. Yes, I definitely did. Like I said, applying or going in through the course helped, but also letting the kids know. The youngest was 9 or 10, the oldest was 16. So just mommy doesn't have the energy to do X, Y, and Z. If you don't put your activity in the calendar, I will not remember,
Yeah.
right? And to be okay with not remembering, because that's frustrating when you can do all of the things without having even to write it down, to now have to look at what's next. What's next? Like, I would forget items in the soup or something in the oven. Like, those little things that we just take for granted and give you empathy for those people, experiencing obviously chronic conditions like dementia. No wonder they get frustrated. No wonder they're anxious. No wonder they get angry. They don't know what's happening or why it's happening. At least we kind of know going through the concussion pathway why it's happening. So, yeah, just changing the expectations in the house.
Yeah. And of ourselves.
Yes.
I mean, I think there's concussion, and then there's also just becoming a more mature woman and not expecting ourselves to blow through a 12-hour work and family day with complete efficiency, effectiveness, and perfection.
Right. And I could sit down for 20 minutes or an hour even, just so I can do the rest of the day, right?
Yes. I mean, I'm a yoga nidra addict for that reason. Because there's times, even now, my concussion was like in 2017. Even now, my brain gets hot and I feel like, oh, just like you have to kind of turn your cell phone off or your computer off when you have too many windows open, you have
Right.
to like shut it down. That's how I feel. Like my brain is like, no, we're shutting down now, honey. So I go over to my little recliner and I do a 20 to 30 minute yoga nidra as a reset because my brain just doesn't want to keep pushing. It can't.
And you're listening,
Yeah.
right?
So
And I think before I would have, like you, just kept going.
what is your brain telling you? What is your nervous system telling you? You keep saying you're listening. You've learned how to listen. Like, what are some of those messages that you're hearing from yourself?
Mostly now, the only symptom that will come back is nausea. It's kind of just a little inkling, like, oh, okay, I need to take a break or slow down or rest more, because I don't want to get to the point where that gets worse. And then I had to go through, because it was a car accident through the insurance company, you have to go through this thing called discovery, where you get to relive and rehash. And they asked you, I don't know how many questions on a 6 hour Zoom call, 4 hour Zoom call. The
Wow.
next day, I thought, oh, I'm doing good. I feel good, right? I was expecting worse. But then slowly, it was like somebody was flicking the switch, the nausea, the dizziness, the brain fog, like all the things were coming back. I'm like, what is happening right now?
And that was
And
a whole day later.
the next
That's
day and the next
fascinating.
day and the next day. Yeah, it was like every day another thing was just click, 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 click. Here we go. All the symptoms, right up to the emotional, psychological feelings as well. And I'm emailing my physio, what is happening? He's like, it's completely normal. It's a long emotional draining process. Plus, it was a Zoom call, it wasn't in person, right?
Yeah. So it sounds like that Zoom call caused so many windows to pop open on your self computer
Yes.
Then you couldn't get them all closed down again. And pretty soon you just had the spinning wheel. Like,
Yeah, and
do
then your
not
brain's like,
proceed.
oh, yeah, I'm not better. It's coming back. It's going to get worse. Right? Like all of those things start happening again. Even though over here, you're like, okay, it's okay. You know what to do. But you know what I mean? You can get sucked along into that emotional,
And
I don't know.
fear, like, what is
Yeah.
happening to me? Is it always going to be like this?
Yes.
Am I not going to be able to work? Am I going to get dementia? Is this going to somehow affect me later? Am I going to get all, like, you can just spin out on this stuff.
Spin out is a good word. Yes. So,
Yeah.
you know, you do the things, you go back to the massage and the physio and the Chinese medicine, and slowly it went better. But it's always in the back of your mind. Okay, that pathway, you can go down that pathway again really quick. So, what do I have to do to stay away from the pathway? So, listen to that inkling, listen to that nausea or that headache or whatever the symptom might be.
I don't want to do like a weird spiritual bypass thing here, but is there any little part of you that is a little bit grateful for understanding you can no longer go down that pathway? That that's not healthy, with or without the concussion,
Right.
it still wasn't healthy for us to push that hard.
That's true. Yes, and I think that comes with probably life experience and, like you said, situations you've had to go through.
I'm also wondering, you can tell where all these questions are coming from, right down in my heart. Is there grieving of not being able to do that much and be that go-getter mom and like do all the things and be so efficient? Is there a grief about losing that woman who used to do that? Or is there more gratitude for, no, I love who she is now. It's all good.
I think initially, yes, definitely grieving and frustration. And like you said, what's my future going to look like? What do I have to do now? And now it's gratefulness. I'm okay with asking for support because I'm running a business on my own. There's this thing called virtual assistants. I didn't even know it was a thing. They can
It
do the
is.
stuff I can't do anymore. I used to have, like, initially I had a stack of invoices that I couldn't reconcile on the computer because it's just too much brain power. So I got a VA. Of course, they whipped through it in no time at all. And now I'm okay with asking for support. Like you said, being that person I was before, I couldn't.
Yeah.
The kids have to do more. The spouse has to do more. I hire people to do more, or it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's not important. It's okay.
Which to me, that sounds so healthy and amazing to get to that point, you know, where like, yeah, I'm delegating, I'm automating, I'm figuring out a way to prioritize and do the most important things and let the rest go. I mean, it sounds like a very healthy response.
Yes, because I probably would be sicker or something else would have happened to make you stop or change, right? If I was continuing on that pathway.
And I'm also just tuning into a little bit of sadness around, and I think yoga addresses this too, that the acceptance of what is and where we're all headed eventually. Like,
Yes.
as we age, car accident or no car accident, this whole thing is going to shut down one tab at a time. I think about these things a lot. Do you think about these things, or is this too morbid?
No, because my mom, after I finished the yoga therapy course on that day, she fell, broke her foot, and she got better. But then, like you said, she ended up in the hospital, and it was strange watching somebody go through that process. Because, like you said, it's like one tab, one, like 5 days before she was talking. But then she could be sleeping, and it was just like one. And my dad also has dementia now, so it's the same thing. And my father-in-law, the same thing. So yes, slowly, like you said, the tabs shut down, and it doesn't look fun.
It does not look fun. I'm watching my aunt right now with dementia and just broke a hip. And oh my goodness. I think this yoga journey of slowing down, being present, checking in, tuning in, possibly having some spiritual connection, I think that's going to be the only way forward for us as we get older and the tabs start shutting down.
Yes.
Because without that, what is there? I mean, you have beautiful children and spouse. I'm sure you have many wonderful things that will continue to support you, but I sometimes think of these accidents and things that happen earlier in life as a little bit of preparation for not being so in control of everything later in life.
I had another injury earlier in my life after the birth of my first child. I couldn't feel either of my legs. They don't know really what happened. Possibly a crush injury as he comes through the birth canal, like onto the sacrum. And my husband at that time said, "Well, now you know what your clients feel like."
Oof.
Could have throttled him,
I was
but
gonna say, smack him.
I couldn't run to catch him. So, but yes, it does make you definitely slow down and reflect and change your life, change your lifestyle, change your approach at thinking. I couldn't walk up and down the stairs with a baby, right? I could barely get myself up and down the stairs. So, yes.
Yeah. I mean, what he says is there's truth to it, right? We're laughing because every injury we've ever had, the empathy for our clients to really understand, oh, that's what it feels like. Yeah.
Well, and I used to say, well, you missed the signals a long way, so you got the 2x4. Right? You got the 2x4 that made you stop. Because when you listen to people tell you before their thing, you know, oh, this happened and this happened, I'm like, oh, they missed that, they missed that, they missed that. Now you have to stop.
It's so harsh to say that. And it's so true for myself and for my clients. And
right.
Even as they're saying it, I don't think they're seeing that pattern.
No.
They're just thinking of it as these random things that happened. And you can see the connection is overwork, overload, overwhelm, sympathetic nervous system in fight, flight, freeze most of the time. Like there's a connection here, but because no one's ever taught them about their nervous system and how it is kind of the hub of the wheel that goes to digestion and impacts immune system and impacts, you know,
right.
all the different cardiovascular system, like the connection is not being told to them that, hey, rest, relaxation, stress management, learning to breathe could actually help all these different random things you're talking about.
Yes, it's funny. It's like we're the ones pointing it all out and they're like, oh, I didn't think of it that way or I didn't see it that way. It's obvious to you and I.
Why aren't Western medical doctors, I mean, maybe they don't know about us yet because we're still emerging, but even if we just take that one thing about yoga therapy. None of the other stuff we've talked about today, slowing down, doing less, tuning in, breathing, like, okay, let's just take all that away. If we just said, look, we can have a really positive impact on one's nervous system and it affects all these other systems. Are you interested in that? I mean, it seems like it would be like a no-brainer for a doctor who has autoimmune people, chronic pain people, to be like, yeah, I like that. Let's do that.
Yeah,
I don't
know the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Why don't we learn it in school?
Right.
Why is it not part of gym or phys ed or whatever the class is called? I don't know. Because you guys are like us. There's not enough doctors.
Yeah.
There's huge wait lists. People end up in a merge for hours waiting to see somebody. So why not implement this? But I know we're not covered in Canada, whereas everybody else, you're covered, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I know the real stumbling block is everybody thinks, oh, we have to get licensed to be able to take insurance, but that's actually not true. There's plenty of different things that can take, you know, codes and insurance that aren't licensed. So, you know, if licensure is a couple decades away because of all the things we have to put in place to be able to become eligible for licensure, it seems like we should still be able to find our way through the maze of healthcare in Canada and US, maybe on the health education side, health promotion side, behavioral health side, maybe through things like kinesiology, you know. But I can tell you, I worked in a kinesiology department for 25 years and talked about all of this, and they thought I was the weird one. I was like definitely the integrative weirdo over there. I think the idea of rest and slowing down is not part of what most athletes and physiologists and biomechanists, that's just not a thing.
No, it doesn't really fit the training principle, does it?
Right.
Right? It's do
Good
more,
though.
Do more.
It
should. Yes, I agree. Because we always say you need to have a day or two off, but I think it's very vague and very general.
Yeah, there's a beautiful book by John Dewey Art called Body, Mind, and Sport. And he actually trained all these really high-level professional and Olympic athletes through Ayurvedic principles with proper, if we look at the gunas and look at, the rest periods and how important they are. And he actually showed empirically that he could have them train less, therefore be injured less, rest more appropriately, and get faster times, less injuries, and score higher. He showed that it worked. Do you think there's kinesiologists out there or physiologists that are starting to kind of buy into that, or have you not seen that?
I haven't really looked into that. I don't know if that's what's happening.
Yeah, I didn't see it. That was not a thing. So.
I know my son was shocked one time, the one that has autism. He has the energy of 10 children, I tell everyone, and he can just go. No, he does all the time. And I can't remember if he was sick or injured, but he took a few days off and then he went back to the gym. He's like, I can lift more. I'm like, yes, because you had a rest. You need to rest. It's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Until it's in front of his face, right?
Right.
Some people
All of
don't want to
us.
believe it. Yeah.
So let's go back to your experience with this concussion. Do you feel now that you've learned to rest and pace yourself and tune in, do you feel like you are more present? Do you feel like you're even maybe you don't get as much done, but are you a different version of yourself that's more effective because you're more present?
Yes, I believe so. I guess, like you said, that the tuning in and the pacing.
It's better for us on the inside, certainly. But I've
True.
also noticed that I'm actually better as a boss or better as a human, better as a spouse. Like I've noticed the quality of my relationships, although there's still improvement to do. I've noticed that it's a more precious, sacred connect. I know I'm still too busy. I'm not saying that I'm, at the mountaintop yet,
Yes.
but the point is like it's a different qualitative feeling with the people I'm connecting with than before when it was mainly task driven, checklist, get it done fast so we can get on to the next thing.
Yes, that makes sense. Definitely. I don't feel like I'm moving slower, but I think if I compare it to what I was doing before, like you said, everything's more thoughtful. I feel like I'm better at pulling all the pieces together to keep everybody else a little more settled in the household.
That's a whole nother thing. You probably heard this term co-regulation, that when you're
No,
more
I
in
haven't.
balance. Oh, you haven't.
Oh.
So when one of us has our own system more in balance, the rest of the family system that we come into contact with tends to stay more in balance. We're not
Right.
bouncing off each other like ping pong balls,
Yes, my Chinese medicine doctor talks about that all the time because he knows the situation we have here. Yes, I think that makes sense because, well, even when the kids are little, you can see that, right? You have to stay calm, or at least I did, especially with the oldest, because he definitely could feel the energy. We always knew when a thunderstorm was coming because 20 minutes before he was bouncing off the walls, and the dog was hiding in the basement because she didn't like thunder. So we had our own little weather alert.
Weather
So, yeah.
barometer.
So that makes sense. I mean, yes, I guess we've been living that.
So, Bobby, what other words of wisdom do you have for anyone who's, I mean, it could be going through a concussion, but it could just be any health issue that has kind of stopped us in our tracks. Do you have any words of wisdom as we kind of move towards our end of our interview?
Well, I think just to not give up hope. Like, I knew there must have been a way. It might not be the way that I was used to or that I had learned, because I did not know anything about yoga therapy. But I knew, even though Susie was just giving me like legs up the wall, what is that going to do? I still trusted her to follow her and just listen to what she said to follow that way to get better. And even taking the course online, I didn't know if I could do it. But I trusted her to go that way.
I was just studying with my teachers in India this morning, and they went all the way back to Yoga Sutra 1.1. And basically, look, there's a relationship between two people, and these teachings are experiential. You're going to feel them, and there's going to be one person that is going to lead, and one's going to kind of follow a little bit. Not that we're
Right.
disempowered, but like they're going to show you the road that you haven't yet been on until you're ready to walk it yourself. And that's very different than some of the other yoga texts where it's kind of like, yeah, you can read the text and figure it out. And so I love what you're saying, that you connected with Susie and you listened to her, and it seemed kind of weird. I guess I'll put my legs up the wall for my concussion. But you trusted her. Why did you trust her? What gave you that shraddha or that trust to say, I'm just going to do it, I'll try it?
Well, I didn't have any other alternative at that point either. That I felt like I had exhausted all my options. So I'll have to try this and see what happens. You read she's had all this success and she can get people pain-free, and well, might as well go with it. Talked with my husband. Let's give it a go. And I had nothing to lose either. I didn't want to live like I was living.
Those are the people that show up at yoga therapy. We're kind of like
Yeah.
the last stop.
Unfortunately, yes.
All right, I tried everything else. I'll go with the weird hippies now. No, we're not weird hippies, but
No.
not the first stop. It still puts me in awe and wonder every single day to see people like you that just gave it a try as their last stop because there was nothing else that they could figure out to do. And then it slowly started to not only transform your symptoms, but also your life. I am still in awe of that all day, every day.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see. And that's why I like working with these challenging people, because it's fun to see them experience the changes and go, what the heck? I can get better. I can go back skiing. I can go running again, because they've been told, you have this. This is as good as it gets. Stop doing whatever. And nobody wants to live like that. There's no joy anymore.
No, exactly. So, do you have a website? Are you on Instagram? Like, how do we find you?
I do have a website. It's Connection, KINNECTION, connectionyogatherapy.com.
Do you have retreats? Do you do mostly privates? Do you have workshops?
I'm trying to get an online class running, because where I live, there's communities close by, but that's 30 minutes away. And like today, it's snowing, so people don't want to drive all the time. So I do one-on-one and hopefully get some classes going. On my webpage there too. I also work with Highland Dancers, which is kind of an aside, a different group, a different population that I've started as well.
And are they like kind of professional dancers? For those of us who don't know, what does Highland dancers mean?
The dancers in the kilts,
Oh, those
Scottish,
Highland, like
those
Scottish
Highland.
dancers.
Yeah, if you go to the very top there, under services, yoga for Highland dancers. My daughters both Highland dance. That's my daughter there.
Oh,
And they're fun to work with because they are tuned into their bodies. And
wow.
so with some small changes, right, they can improve how they're dancing and hopefully dance longer. She's now 19, almost 20. They want to keep dancing, but usually, as you know, people hit 18 and stop sport.
Beautiful. Are you Scottish or is your family? You have kind of reddish hair and
We have a
I'm
little bit of
curious.
Scottish history way back, yes.
Beautiful. Do the Scottish dancing support online also?
Yes, I can. I'm just going to do a live tomorrow. We're going to Calgary to run a workshop with one of the dance groups there.
Beautiful.
So, kind of two different groups, but same result.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Bobby, for being with us today. It's been a pleasure to get to know you. And I'm just so grateful when people are willing to be so vulnerable as to tell their story and all the parts, the happy ones, the sad ones, the hard parts, the here's what worked. And I'm just really grateful that you were able to share with us so freely today.
I appreciate you having me on.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby, for being with us today and really helping us to pinpoint one of the beautiful ways that yoga therapy helps people to heal. Now, I told you in the intro to listen carefully about what is that thing that yoga therapy is offering that maybe we're not seeing in a lot of the other modalities that kind of is the key to healing. It's what Bobby experienced when she went through training and support with Susie. And that is this idea that slowing down, doing less, resting when needed, and most importantly, listening to our bodies. Our bodies are sending us the signals, but we don't listen. They're telling us, slow down, rest. And we don't listen probably because we don't know how to listen to our bodies. We don't realize that there is a message being sent. We think that getting older and getting sicker is just a normal part of the human experience, which it is. But why not do as much as we can for as long as we can to feel good? We don't actually get rewarded for slowing down and being present to our own body systems and to listen to what those signals are. Like, nobody teaches us how to do that. We should be teaching kids that, since kindergarten, every day of their life. We would have so much less health problems, societal problems, family problems, if children learned how to listen from a very, very young age and then respond to our own bodily needs and our mental needs and our spiritual needs. It occurs to me that the way society is set up around productivity, around making money, around prestige and fame and fortune and getting ahead in the world and getting on top and competition, all of that is kind of anti-listening to your deeper self. And in fact, in the struggle to survive and just pay our bills, we actually don't even have the time to slow down and listen to self. Now, I think that's a black and white statement, and I do think that these very structural things in society are keeping us spinning in life. But maybe the biggest rebellion that we could advocate for as yoga people is I am going to take my time to slow down. I am going to take those three breaths and check in. I am going to take 10 minutes for my yoga nidra exercise. I am going to check in every hour with myself for 30 seconds and say, how am I feeling right now? Is there anything I need right now? Those are tiny, tiny acts of rebellion against the oppressive, industrial complexes that keep everything moving so fast. So let's start a yoga revolution, the slow down and tune in yoga revolution. And I really think that that is the building blocks over many, many decades and centuries to change the trajectory of humanity. It's no small thing. So let's get started. All right, everybody, have a great week. If you want to join us in your personal revolution, we have our Monday night classes with Optimal State. Every Monday night, we have a sangha that gets together and does gentle postures, breath work, and a big long yoga nidra. It's a wonderful time together. You can come to www.theoptimalstate.com and find out more about those Monday night classes. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We are really, really blessed to have you all as listeners. We can feel the energy coming back, the gratitude, and we want you to know how much we appreciate you out there in the audience. Every little bit of goodness that we share with you from our guests goes into your ears, down into your heart. I am hopeful that it radiates out into the world. That is the goal. So thank you for being our dependable and reliable listeners. You have no idea how much we appreciate seeing those downloads every single week. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.